Welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic Podcast Network.
And it's my pleasure to present the first time ever Kobe Bryant All-Star MVP Award to Kawhi Leonard.
Reverse flush and ain't that a smooth one.
This how it goes, and I hope I have no friends.
And his response was, I'm sorry, I just wanted a Frosty.
I want Tyler to know his ass should have got thrown out. If I was the ref, I would have tossed his ass. How dare you?
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding, special post-All-Star Game edition. I'm your host, Dave DeFour, and we've got a loaded panel for the Ding. We've got Marcus Thompson.
I'm searching your pockets like you lost something.
I lost my phone.
Okay. We got David Aldridge.
I was very worried about your phone.
And we got, most importantly, the biggest name on the show.
There you go.
We got Tim Cato, and of course,
and we have music.
And the arena.
Yeah, I like it.
And of course, the arena decides to kick in music
just as we start recording.
Just
for us. I had to.
That's why I had to find my phone. I had to turn the music on.
Downplaying my own importance here.
I like that they pipe it in. You know?
Guys, this is it's the best All-Star game I've ever seen.
Okay.
And I'm about to turn 39, so I've seen a lot of them. I've never seen any live, but this is my favorite All-Star game. David, you and I talked about this yesterday during All-Star Saturday night, which we both enjoyed.
Yes.
We wondered, were they trying to fix something that isn't really that important? Maybe they shouldn't bother to fix it. They did a pretty good job.
I was fine with it. The Elam ending is fine. I don't have a problem with it. It's math, guys. It's not that hard. It's just adding. And once everybody knew what the score was, people kind of got into it and owned it. But again, I don't think we should equate everything with, well, they came up with this great new ending. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But the reason why it was exciting is because they gave a shit in the fourth quarter and they competed. That's why it was exciting. It wouldn't have been exciting if they just kept throwing lobs and dunks and somebody gets to 157. It was interesting and fun because they played some defense for the first time in recorded history. They played some defense. And that's what made it interesting.
I will say, though, Giannis took this game seriously.
Absolutely.
Playing defense the entire time.
He played Giannis the whole game. Wanted all the smoke from LeBron.
Yes.
He wanted everything LeBron had.
When he blocked that fadeaway.
Yes.
I mean, that was a...
Yes.
My eyes got very big on that play. I mean, because first of all, he bodied him up.
Which he did.
I mean, think about Giannis when he got drafted. Yeah. Like, I want a video of Giannis, you know, when he first came in the league, and then video of him just manhandling LeBron.
Yeah.
LeBron trying to spin. Oh. Rechecked by Giannis.
Here's your defense you wanted, Marvelous.
Just pushed him out to 15, 17 feet, then smothered the turnaround. And then later, he's trying to get a switch off of him, and Giannis is like, yeah, nah, buddy. I'm going through the screen. You're going to have to deal with me all night.
He had the block.
And I don't know how he got to that shot, that layup off the glass.
Yeah.
Like, that was like a... It was like a not a passing of the torch. That was like Giannis like saying, no, I'm taking the torch.
Yeah, Giannis definitely flexed at him.
It was a flex, for sure, for sure. And it was also the All-Star game. Now let's
Right. Okay, but LeBron was trying.
No, they were.
Hey, man, can you just let us overstate things tonight?
This is our job as a media to overreact to every moment.
I try to pull people back from the precipice.
David Aldridge just trying to pour cold water on us here.
No, just take it for what it is.
But you know, the All-Star game has sort of had those moments where you see that, like Allen Iverson trying to cross up Jordan, right? Like the younger guys going at the sort of like upper echelon elite.
Right. There's been moments where they've tried and, you know, there's been some successes. But, if taking it for what it is, it was a lot of fun. It was a great, great competitive evening. And I just hope that there's some lessons that can be drawn from this going forward, which is the game is really great when people compete. It's really great when people don't compete and they're just throwing shots up and there's no concept conceptually of trying to stop the other team. It's not a lot of fun to watch, at least for me, because I'm old. But when you see this and they're going at each other and the scoring comes out of the flow of the game, which means they shot some threes, they shot some layups, Kawhi shot a bunch of mid-range shots. It was a party. It was fun. It was basketball.
It really was.
And they won it on a free throw.
And they won it on a free throw.
So an idea I heard about that, or I just saw it on Twitter. What if
a free throw subtracts a point from the other team. So
now that's interesting. So you can't win it at the line.
Yeah, you do get a point advantage or 2 point advantage, you know, a point per free throw, but it can never end on a free throw.
I say if you get to the target score by a free throw, then the other team has to, they get one more chance to tie it. So if you win on a free throw, you got to get one more stop.
Right.
Well, kind of like in football, if it's a field goal, the other team gets a shot.
If it's outside of it'd have to be outside of 4 points then, right?
Right. Yeah, to keep the game going. Right, you get a stop. Right. Keep the game going. Yeah. You get a bucket. Keep the game going. Like,
that's an easy tweak.
You just can't end on a free throw.
Yeah, no, that should be an easy tweak.
And they'll figure it out. I will say, as someone who kind of was, I don't know, again, cynical about the rule changes and thinking, all right, there's no way these guys are going to care anyway. All right, they really did care. I'm happy to eat crow on it. This is one of the most fun NBA games I've ever watched. I really did enjoy it. I mean, it was, you know, the best players in the world trying hard. You know, I mean, the Team LeBron, Team Giannis with the kids at the end, I thought that was great. I mean,
do you think the kids helped?
I don't know.
Oh, the cheering kid? I thought it was kind of fun.
I think it was fun. I'm kind of cynical about whether a NBA player tried harder on the court.
No, but you got to think, guys, you got to remember it's a TV show. It's a TV show.
No, I think it was a good thing.
I think
they
it played
keep going.
Really well.
Yeah.
The TV part of it, as somebody who's done a million of these, that worked out really well, having them right on the court, cheering, making noise, as opposed to most All-Star games where people just kind of sit on their hands and wait for the next lob. So that part, I thought that was fine. And this, you know, was reminiscent of 2001 to me in D.C. when Mutombo came in and blocked 8 shots. And the East team came back because they got in people.
The greatest All-Star.
Yeah, I think that was unbelievable.
They
came back because they guarded people, and the place went nuts, and the fans were into it. And that's
Iverson was hyped,
and Marbury.
Yeah, Marbury.
And then Mutombo, they just basically played a zone, funneled everything in the deke, and he blocked everything. You know, so that's. People get into it when they think there's investment on the floor.
That was my favorite moment of this game when Gobert was just like, oh, yeah, you know, the one thing I can do is block shots.
Right.
Not the one thing, but, you know.
Right, that's his strength. Like, that's my strength.
Exactly. How many screen assists did he have in this game?
Not sure, but if we counted them, he'd probably be the MVP.
I'm sure we'll see the graph here soon.
That was a good moment, though, right, when Team LeBron got to the point where they needed one bucket,
yes,
and everybody stands up,
yeah,
and
it turns
into like Rucker Park, like that was pretty cool.
It felt like a EuroLeague game, and I know that sounds ridiculous coming from me because I always compare everything to EuroLeague, but like that sort of energy and excitement I've argued about this, the NBA misses in general. Did you guys notice there was no music at all in that fourth quarter?
Yes.
Did you miss it? No, because the basketball was so great. And we were just like, I mean, everyone was on the edge of their seat. I'm over here booing when they called the goaltending, you know, that wasn't a goaltend. I mean, I was just, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, when they overturned, you could see LeBron, when they told LeBron it was overturned, yeah. Like, that was a great moment. That was funny.
Okay, Chris Paul looked like he was going to get a technical in an All-Star game.
Yeah, he's about to get teed up. That would have been awesome.
We had challenges because these guys actually cared to win.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry
drawing
taking
charges.
It's fun.
In the spirit of treating this like a regular game, can we analyze it like a regular game and talk about how bad Kemba and Lowry was?
Why was Kemba? All right, so here's the question. So Kemba was closing down the stretch. I mean, you got Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
It should have been.
You know,
Jimmy.
You never know. Look, you never know what the players tell the coaches. Oftentimes, they'll say, "Look, I'm not really trying to play in this game." So, you know, if somebody else wants to go, let them go. So you just don't know,
right? I find it hard to believe Jimmy Butler would say that.
It may have just been a mistake, as well.
It could be that they wanted to close with them down the stretch and had already designed the rotations or something like that. I don't know, but you know, if I was, you know, in charge of that, I definitely would have had Jimmy Butler out there.
I definitely would have had Rudy Gobert out there, too, at the rim.
Yeah, Embiid kind of got sunned by Kawhi. I mean, he looked a little tired, and Kawhi just ripped the ball right out of his hands.
An All-Star game is not Joel Embiid's game.
No.
By no means.
I don't know. That was a nice little Hakeem the Dream movie put on LeBron.
Games outside of Philly don't seem to be his games either.
Kawhi wins the MVP.
Yeah,
he came out gunning, looking like he wanted it.
It was fine. Yeah, I thought he was good. I love Kawhi. You know, he doesn't – it's amazing. Like, he doesn't – I was joking with Marcus the whole game. Like, his trash talk is literally like basket, layup,
Well, poor man gets
another
paid.
Basket.
Poor man gets paid.
Like, there's no junk. There's no smack talk. It's just, he is so, wow. I can't think of anybody like him, really. That's that good. You know, like, it's hard for me to remember anybody who's like that, that has no emotion whatsoever. Doesn't show it very often.
When the defense was still so bad at the start, I figured he'd go to the podium after, be like, despite our poor defensive showing tonight, you know, I was really proud of the win.
You know? Someone asked Russell Westbrook after the game how he felt about the game ending on a free throw. He was like, feel great. We won.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I get it. And again, under the rules, I get it. But I think if you're the league,
I'm here for it. Actually, it's going to take some years.
Oh yeah, no, definitely not. There's nothing wrong with
Game 7 of the finals, baby. Elam Indy, let's do it.
G League's fine.
Yeah,
summer league is fine. Sure.
Yeah.
I would like it in the summer league. So end those interminable games that they play in summer league. So
it's a good way to avoid overtime. I mean, maybe college basketball should look into it and spice things up.
Maybe I wouldn't go D1, but I, you know, low D2, D3.
I know Seth Partnow has a little piece coming out on the Elam ending.
Did he talk? Someone talked to Elam. Who talked to Elam?
Seth.
Did Seth talk to Elam?
I guess.
Y'all want me to turn it down? Is that what you want me to? All right. Let me find my phone.
Thinking about the entire weekend. Feels like the NBA really nailed it in everything that they did, from not only the on-court stuff, but also, I mean, the Kobe Bryant tributes, the David Stern tributes. I this is a really great weekend.
They know how to do this. This is, you know, they really know how to put this event on. There's been some that weren't as successful as others for lots of different reasons, but they're very good at this, you know. And they're very good at not just presenting the game and the weekend, but also weaving in the older players, the fast legends. I mean, they do an excellent job of keeping the old and the new, the young and the old kind of stitched together. And they're excellent at it. And I thought they benefited this year because Saturday night was really good. This was probably the best Saturday night I've seen in a very long time.
Tim, how did you feel about Luka? I mean, you've been covering his entire career. How'd you feel about his first All-Star appearance?
I mean, I don't think I ever saw him stop smiling. So he was definitely the kid in a candy shop, you know, the whole one, you know, this is his heroes. He got to play with LeBron. Somebody asked him about playing with LeBron, you know, after, and he was just like, way better than playing against him. Like, you could just tell, like, he loved this shit, you know. So, and he's 20, you know, he's about to turn 21. It was cool for him that he was able to, you know, get here. I mean, he fully deserved his start. And
there's a great photo circulating on social media from when he played against OKC in 2016, and he was being guarded by Russell Westbrook. And then in the All-Star uniforms for the team picture, they're sitting next to each other. Thought that was, like, kind of a cool moment for him. And you know, I think about Devin Booker, his first All-Star game. Trae Young hits the half-court buzzer beater.
Trae Young should have been playing down the stretch.
Should have been. We disagree on that.
Oh, you want defense?
You need defense.
They literally couldn't score.
Yeah, but again.
I mean, they literally couldn't score.
You got Jimmy Butler on the bench.
Literally
couldn't
score.
What are we doing here?
Put Jimmy Butler in too. Butler, Trae Young.
Well, you need Kyle Lowry. They don't even come close to winning that game without Kyle Lowry out there.
They certainly didn't come close to winning that
game.
Kyle
Lowry's the real MVP is what I'm getting at.
They certainly didn't come close to winning it with Kyle Lowry.
Now, Marcus, I was going to talk about any Golden State Warriors that were out there.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Steph Clay and Draymond and Kevin Durant and the performance they put on. It was, you know, I think they disappeared. I think they
were kind of invisible tonight.
I didn't even notice they were on the court. Like, they were invisible in this performance, you know.
It was terrible.
This goes down as one of the most absentee performances in All-Star history.
So how does it feel to have an All-Star, like, an All-Star weekend where you're actually not covering the players and you kind of just get to take it all in? Like, is it a different experience?
Oh, yeah. Much less stressful.
Oh, shit. I covered the Wizards for the Bullets forever. I never have no All-Stars.
I know, right? Yeah. It's great. I love it.
It's always easy for
I
me.
I love it. It's incredible.
Yeah, Calvert Chaney didn't make an All-Star game.
You're not trying to get extra time. You're not trying to be like, get what you need.
Yeah, you weren't having to go to any shoe events?
I was chilling.
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap things up, but any closing thoughts on All-Star weekend or the season as we're heading to the final stretch?
I'm unlike DA, I'm going to overstate how much this game meant we just watched Giannis take the torch from LeBron. Giannis is the greatest player in NBA history. And no,
you're just trying to anger me, aren't you? You're just trying to rile me up, aren't you?
Needs to be every game.
We got to do the Elam ending everywhere.
I can't wait. I'm praying for Toronto Milwaukee Eastern Conference Final because I just think that would be incredible basketball.
We need the part two.
The most important best game ever played at United Center. I think that's pretty obvious.
Hold on. This is probably the most important game played in the United Center since 1999, right?
98. 99, there weren't any important games played here.
Been a minute. Well, anyway,
by the way,
for Marcus Thompson,
I think Chance was pretty good. Chance Rapp's performance was pretty good.
Oh, Chance was pretty good. I was impressed by that. And there were some important games. D-Rose, when he was his MVP year, was pretty good.
Oh, I want to talk more Chance. I needed more acid rap. I needed like the proper ultralight beams.
Yeah, right? Definitely. I was expecting Kanye to come out.
Kanye was here.
Kanye's got to come out.
He had a microphone labeled back somewhere under, you know, a couple of media people tweeted it out. And so I don't know why he ultimately didn't.
Well, he was wearing Tony Jones's outfit. Anyway, for Marcus Thompson, for David Aldridge, for Tim Cato, I'm Dave DeFore. Thank you guys for waking up with us. And we'll be back when the games start up again with more of the Daily Ding. Ding, ding.